The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. This gospel lesson talks about Jesus on a journey. For my sermon, I want to kind of give you an advance heads up that I'm going to do some comparing of this journey, which is before, obviously, his crucifixion and resurrection, and the journey along the way to Emmaus. So it's kind of two roads to be thinking about. And then also, it will say that Jesus' face is being set. It's often said that we really can't look into another's face and hate them. If we look seriously at one another, we see the humanity. And if we see the humanity, we also see the divinity. So that's all that stuff's going to be behind the sermon. When these days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, along the way, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus replied, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the dominion of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the dominion of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, and I'd like to invite the children to come forward to help the pastor out in making this proclamation. Yes, you're not the only one, guys. Thank you. May and Gwynnie, good to see you. Hello, Charlotte. So I've got, as usual, I've got a question. But, keep them coming. Is that Esme? Yeah. Now everybody look into Esme's face, and then we can all go home, right? I mean, just... Well, here's my question. And for you to answer it, I'd like for you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about Jesus and what you see in Jesus' face. You all might try this as well. Let's close our eyes and think about Jesus and what do we see in his face. Okay. Some of us could be dozing. What do we see in Jesus' face? And there's, I don't think, any wrong answers here. What did you see? Yeah, Charlotte?
Something.
Could you be more specific? Anybody else could say something? What'd you see, Esme? Yeah. How about girls? Did you see anything in particular? A thing you could say? Yeah, what comes to mind? You saw a beard. What kind of look was he given? A smile? I bet when Jesus looks at you, he does smile. And why would Jesus smile when he looks at you? So I think he cares for you. He's happy to see you. God is happy to see you. God sent Jesus to be with us because God wants us all to know that God is happy with God's own creation and with us as children. I thought maybe we might see something like love in his eyes or in his face, and that would be love for you all and care for you all. And so I wonder how, when we look at others, how should we see them? How should we look at them? Or how can we look at them in Jesus' name? Esme is the best example, because can anyone look at Esme without love in our hearts? Can we? No, yeah, everybody look at, yeah. And I think she likes that. And don't we all, to be perceived with care and love? Christ sets his face toward you so that you know that you are loved by God in Christ Jesus. And then says, follow me and look at others with that same kind of care and love. Thanks for coming forward. So Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. This line, this action in the story of the Gospel of Luke really is a turning point in that Gospel. If you might recall, Jesus gave his inaugural address when he begins his ministry. He's in the synagogue and he picks up the scroll and reads from the prophet Isaiah. And as we were reminded, Brenda, you might remember this week in Holden Village, we were reminded that in Luke, this is the only gospel in which Jesus demonstrates that he can read. So it's probably the only gospel that acknowledges that Jesus is literate. But at any rate, you remember what he read as his inaugural address, his opening speech of what his ministry was to be like, to heal the sick, set the captive free, feed the hungry, liberate the oppressed, proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is to announce the dominion of God. So he sets his face to Jerusalem. And when one sets one face, it's a whole being, their whole person, the whole life is set with that intention, that regard. And really, it's not just to Jerusalem that he is going. He's going to the whole world, to all of us. That in the holy city where God dwelled, and that in the heart of all people where God dwelled, Jesus, God's promise and presence of life, might be accepted. That's his message. That the presence and meaning of the Son of God would be trusted. Jesus in the new age, as Dr. Danker entitled his book on Luke, as he announced in that first public speech in the synagogue, Jesus is on this way, this journey of life-giving acceptance of others. As he does so, he enters Samaria. But the Samaritans don't get it. They don't understand. He passes through their village as a sign of welcome and inclusion, that the whole world is included in this program. He's not going to Jerusalem to ratify or elevate its authority, but to reveal in himself an inclusive vision of the city of God for many, a new age. But they could not see or accept that his face was encountering them with welcome, which he would take to Jerusalem. They rather would hope that he would stop there and say, well, no, the real place is Mount Gerizim. That's what the Samaritans, where they worshiped and where their holy place was. And they wanted Jesus to renounce Jerusalem and accept their holy place. Old grudges, old enemies, old slights die hard. They were only willing to look into the face of Jesus, into the face of love and acceptance, if only he rejected others. However, no hellfire and damnation is announced, although the disciples we read would like to have that happen. But that's the old way. That's not the way Jesus is on. Hellfire and damnation is not Jesus' way. But the dominion of God did pass to another village. As I said, Jesus isn't bringing the dominion solely to Jerusalem, but he's going there to announce and demonstrate God's welcome of many into the realm of God. As I said in my preliminaries, I imagine the road upon which Jesus is traveling to be somewhat like the road to Emmaus. It's before resurrection, after resurrection. But he's on a new way, out of slavery. And I'm reminded of Paul's lines, for freedom Jesus is setting us free. Out of slavery to old grudges and fights and fears, to a new way, a new exodus, if you will. In our story, we see that many want to follow. Many seek to follow. But our lesson has these cryptic sayings that suggest that they are only willing to follow on their own terms. Let me first go bury. Let me say farewell. Can I invoke Karl Marx? Karl Marx once said that in times of revolutionary change, and Jesus was announcing and demonstrating revolutionary change, forgiveness, inclusive welcome, love of enemies, health to all, food for all. In times of unsettling change, upside down change, the quote is, we anxiously conjure up the spirit of the past to comfort ourselves in the face of the unknown. The point of these three odd cryptic sayings is that when facing Jesus and the opportunity of the new age, the dominion of God, people looked back in anxiety and fear to old ways. They conjured up the spirit of the past. That is an accurate description of our age. Our country and the world are anxiously conjuring up the spirit of the past. MAG, Make America Great Again, and much of Europe's nationalistic movements, as well as radical Islam, all are in this spirit of looking back, fear looking into the face of the new age. Nostalgia for the past, the philosopher Mark Lilla says, the old way, old ways of oppression, of supremacy over others. Refugees and immigrants around the world are like Jesus, setting his face to Jerusalem and calling for a new way. I was thinking on this day, it's like the Pride Walk, people setting their face, calling for a new way, to announce their acceptance, their humanity, and in that humanity, their divinity. If we look at these in their faces, we see their humanity, and we will also see the divinity of them as children of God. If this crisis were only a political crisis, that's one thing, but it is a very important thing. But this is more than that. It's a matter of the soul, of spirit being played out in history. Once more, Jesus comes. Can we see his face? Dare we look? In this strange way of humility, of poverty, of loss of need, the dominion of God is possible once more. Of course, we know that when Jesus got to Jerusalem, the whole world doubled down on holding on to the old ways of power, of enemies, of fear, of prejudice, of stereotype. That's what the cross meant for the world. But the death and resurrection of the community of life is not what the cross meant to God. God does not double down on the past. God's way is not hellfire and destruction. Even though we have made ourselves enemies of God and God's program of life, God offers forgiveness in Christ Jesus and the promise of new life. That's the resurrection promise. Because he lives, we shall live also. As I think the children helped us understand, Jesus set his face toward us. He gave his life. Faith in his promise, trust in his forgiveness, looking into the face of the crucified and resurrected Christ is to look into the face of the neighbor, the lost, the outsider, the immigrant, all who long for life. I was about to end there, but there's an equally hard struggle. For we are called also to look into the face of our enemies, at least into the face of those who are divided from us. It's a difficult look sometimes. We are not encouraged or authorized by the gospel to call down destruction. It turns out, not hellfire, but seeing and welcoming those in need is the best way to encourage those from whom we are divided. This was Jesus' way, to see us all, to redeem us all, to set his face toward us in forgiveness and welcome. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Amen.